Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Lamed Dalet. And we are on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. A couple of lines up from the bottom. We'll start again with the second wide line on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara here is talking about a brisa that relates to Tam and Muad, which we'll, B'ez Hashem, get back to a little bit later. But the brisa had two parts. The brisa had the two dots. Had started off with short tam that's mazik, what the halacha is, and a short muad shehizik. Short tam shehizik, and there are different parts within short tam. Before hamad bedin, what power does the mazik have? After hamad bedin, what power does the mazik have? And if creditors of the mazik come and take the ox, what is the halacha? Who has the control of the item before the Havad Abedin, after the Havad Abedin, and the creditor? So let's pick it up again from the second line. So we just said that if the Mazik shechs the animal, the maskana is that the basar, the meat, can go to the nizak, but the mazik does not have to pay for the interim pachas shchita. That's the second line we said right before the end of the previous year. The amount that the animal went down from the time of the death to the time of the hamad abedin because of the shchita, that is not incumbent upon the mazik because you go by how much he was mazik just at the time of the hezek, but not afterwards. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Amar Afuna Braid of Yeshua, Zoso Maris, this seems to teach me, Hamazik Shibudo Shachavero Pater. The short tam, Migufo Mishalim, is Meshubit to the Nizak, and yet the Mazik is damages it here, and he's Pater. He doesn't have to pay the difference. So doesn't this say that in general, if there is a Shibud, if I have something that is lean, that is designated to you, and I damage it, so I'm going to be Pater. What's the classic case? Rashi quotes, the case is, if I have Karka, is Meshubit to you, and then I destroy the karka. I make holes all over the karka. I destroy it. I take shovels and hose. So, and now it's worth less. Do I have to pay you for that? The answer is no. That's mazik shibudo shachavero pater. So Rav Huna says, just like in our case, where somebody shechs the animal that is meshubah to the other person, so he's going to be putter, so too in the case of the karka. So before we talk about that, let's continue. Says the Gemara Pshita, so one second. It's obvious, that's the case of mazik shibudo. What's the difference? Of course this is what you would say based on this. What's the difference between shechting the animal and destroying the karka? Pshita. So the Gemara says no. Mao de tema, you might have said, what's the chiddush of Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua? Mao de tema, hasam hu da amar le lo chasartich velo midi. You might have said, by the case of our shechting the animal, the mazik could say, what did I do? De amar le zika ba'amu de shakli binach. This animal is your shibud, so what did I do? The animal's still here. It's not alive anymore. I shechted it. I took the wind out of it, as the language of the Gemara is, but there, maybe you would say pater, because really, the animal was here, and the animal is here. Aval ba'al malachayev. But in general, maybe, even if in that case of mazik shibudo, you'd be pater, maybe in that case, you would be chayev in the case where you actually destroy land, and it is not the same as it was. There's a big difference between destroying land and just letting the wind and killing an animal. That's why Rav Huna, Breid of Yeshua, has to come and tell us that mazik shibudo shachavero is going to be pater. So the Gemara says, Hanami Rabba Amra. No, that we also know. Rabba also tells us that we know in a parallel case to our case, you'd be pater. Why? Dama Rabba. Rabba says, which we're going to have this later, Hasorif Shtarosav Shal Chaver Pater. If somebody burns up the Shtaros of their friend, right, the classic case of Garmi, which we'll get back to in Hashem soon. Somebody, there's a Shtar that says, Rumi owes me 100, and then somebody burns it, so that's Sorif Shtarosav Shal Chaver Pater. So that's also Mazik Shibuto Shal Chavero. So that's also obvious. The Gemara says, what's the Chiddush again of Rav Huna? So Gemara answers, Mao de Tema, no, there too, you might have limited it. Mao de Tema, Hasamuta Amar Le, Niyara Ba'alma Kalai Minach. I just burned a piece of paper of yours. What did I do? That's what you're putter, because it wasn't actually a Maisa Beguf Hadavar. It was a Maisa in what was representative, right, the raya, but it wasn't a burning of your property. Ava, but in the case that we're trying to figure out, the case of Rav Huna, hecha techafar ba boroshichunu ma'aros, But in the case of digging caves or ditches, lechayiv, so then in that case, maybe you should be chayiv by mazik shibudo shachavero. Kamash v'lano, tehahacha, kemadachaver, babar shichan amaros dami. Because our case of shechting is like a case of mazik v'guf hadavar, v'kamar, masha asasui. And you see that pater, masha asasui, what he did, we just explained that means pacha shchita, and that's why Rafuna needs to say, but it is an extension of the case of shchita. Okay, a couple of points to make on this line. First of all, what are we paskin in this case? So Pashas, you would think, so what are we paskin? We paskin, as we'll see, mazik shibudu shachaveiro chayiv. That's what we paskin. If somebody has something that is designated and lean to a person, and I destroy it, I'm going to be chayiv. In all these cases, we try to say pater, but that's not what we hold. We hold mazik shibudu shachaveiro chayiv. If that's true then lachora, in our case, we should paskin that the pacha shchita is incumbent on the mazik. If it goes down in value because of the shechita, the mazik should have to pay for that. Because Rafuna said that zosomeres, only because mazik shibudu shachaver pater is the reason that the mazik is going to be pater for the difference. So that's why the Lecha Mishnah has a problem with the Rambam. Because the Rambam paskins mazik shibudu shachaver chayiv, and yet does not say that the mazik is going to be chayiv for the difference, for the more depreciation that comes because of the shechita. The Rambam says in Hilchos Niske Mamon, Parachas Halacha Zayin, shachto, if the mazik shechs the short tam of his that just damaged, Gova hanizak mibsaro. The nizak collects from the basar. Period. That's it. Doesn't say that, oh, if the basar went down, then he'll get the interim. Ask the Lecha Mishnah Kasha. Lama lo kasav Rabbeinu zal de mishalim hefsid shchita. To habi gemara amru de islay amazik shibudu shachavir apator. V'Rabbeinu zal de islay de chayiv. Afilu bahid rabat zorish tarosav. Pasak in perhilkos choval chayiv. So he leaves that betzarachian. So all the achronim try to figure out, according to the Rambam, if you say mazik shibudu shachaver chayiv, so why would you say pater in this case? Why would you say he's not chayiv for the pacha shchita in the interim? Because, you know, one would think that one should be, the pasha of the Gemara is that one should be chayiv in this case. So the Bircha Shmuel, among others, Bircha Shmuel says, well, maybe the Rambam means that you would be chayiv. But here he's not talking about hilchas of mazik shibudu. He's talking about Me'ikir Adin. Are you chayiv for within Hilchas Nezek? So he says, Pata Me'ikir Adin. But you're right. There's a Mazik Shibudo that you would be chayiv for. That's what he talks about in Hilchas Chovel. Just by the examples. The examples he gives in Perek Zion of Hilchas Chovel. The Rambam says there in Halacha Yun Aleph, V'chein, Ha'osa Avdo Apotiki. He quotes all the cases. I have an Eved that's supposed to be paid up to a creditor. V'chazar V'shicharo. And I free the Eved. Chayiv hamishachver l'shalim l'bal chov. I have to pay the bal chov. Shari hifkia shibudo v'garim l'abein mamono. Number one. Or v'chein hadochev matbeya chaveiro v'nisgara v'yar alayam. I see my friend's money on the floor and I give it a little push. And what happens? It goes into the sea. Chayiv l'shalim. V'chein hasorim ozen apara. Chayiv l'shalim. Shagor l'tachos damea. I damage your animal. Right? So all of these cases and other examples, mazik shibudo shachaveiro is chayiv. That's why the Lecha Mishnah is bothered. And you have to come up with some answer why the Rambam would say this case is different. This example of Mazik Shibuto, the case quoted in the Gemara of Rabba, of Sorif Shorosov Shachavero, as you see, the Gemara says, look later on Sadi Ches, Amid Aleph and Amid Beis, that is a case of Garmi. That's a case of destroying one's property. The bottom line there, De Amar Le, Niyara Kaloi Minach. Why does Rabbi say Sarah Shalazo Shachavero Pater? Because he could say, I just destroyed your money. But the Gemara there says, but if you're doing Dina de Garmi, so then he would be Chayiv. Garmi is a huge discussion. We've touched on it already in the past, just to quote one Makar. And that is, we know the three cases. We have Maisa Yashir, if I damage you directly. Grama, if I damage you indirectly. Grama is Pater. We've had cases of Grama already. Mishasa Kalbo Shachavero. Right, sometimes grum is usser, as we said. If I instigate, if I cause my friend's dog to go and damage your property, it's a putter. Why? Because the dog is not mine, and that's the other, the Mishnah says grum, the Gemara says earlier. So it's grum is terrible. It's usser, but I'm not gonna have to pay for it. And Garmi is in the middle. Surif Shirasov Shel Chaveiro. So Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, is don dina to Garmi. So does everybody hold of Garmi or not? And is Garmi an Issa Darais, a Halacha Darais or a Halacha Darabanan? Say if you would go through the Sugya, sounds like that if you hold of Garmi, according to most Rishonim, you would say it's a Din Daraisa. right? If you garmi is somewhere in between, it's more than grama, it's closer to maisa yashir, and therefore you would say you're chayav for garmi midal raisa. That's what it seems like if we go through the sugya. But there's a classic shach, where the shach all of a sudden takes everything and turns it on its head. And the shach had the ability, because he knew everything, and he'll quote 35 sources, that you'll start off the sugya thinking one thing, but he'll convince us that it's just the opposite. So the shach in Simon Shin Pei Vav, which is the Simon Chosh Mishra about garmi, he says, I know the Ramban wrote a kuntras called kuntras dina de garmi, but the Ramban didn't write a kuntras about many topics, right? About the cheirem he wrote, mishpat de cheirem, but he wrote a whole kuntras about garmi, which we'll have to quote from. Kuntras dina de garmi, printed with Nezikin on the Ramban, Chidushi Ramban ala Shas. So the Shach says, I know the Ramban did that and explained all the distinctions about why is this case garmi and this case not garmi. There are 25 different cases in Shas. Why you putter here and chayev there. In the beginning of Akonis, we're going to have to talk about it also. If I made a sheker against you and many other cases where I cause you damage, cases that you're chayev, is that garmi or is that not? And your putter, do you do garmi? So he comes up with all lumdish distinctions. Says the Shach, I don't think you have to do any lumdish here. I think the chiyuv of garmi is derabanan, like one day in Tosus that we've seen. But let me tell you, it's not one day in Tosus. Everybody holds that garmi is derabanan. So he goes through all the days that all the rishonim that off the beaten path rishonim, the aguda and the smag, and he goes there, and then he says, let me tell you why all other rishonim, you think they hold this daraisa, but it's really derabanan also. So at the end of the day, the shach kedarka vakodesh says there's never a machlokes. Everybody holds like me. That's what he ends up saying. But that's this shach, this six-column shach here in the beginning of Simon Shin Pei Vav, where he goes through his shita. After he quotes the Rabban, he says, Al-Kain hukrach l'harach bazeh. Anam l'fima shenir ali, ikr dizirin zegarmi, enu ala k'nasa d'rabanan. So, you know what the chilukim are? Because the rabbis felt you should be mechayev here and patur there. Ein tzorach l'chalik b'shum chilukim, rakamasha kasav shara poskin. Shechachavim kansu b'davar shayenir lahem, shu shchiach v'ragil. I'm going to go through each of the Ramban's points and explain why, you know, I disagree, and maybe he agrees with me, the Chulu. And he goes through quoting all of the Rishonim and the Ramban himself, including our case of Suresh Dorosa. But again, if you ever want to know anything about Garmi, you have to go through all these shocks in Simon Shin Pei Vav. Okay, let's continue now. Oh, one other ha'ara, important Rashi here. Rashi says that explaining the Gemara, Shiva Kubetas also says it here, that what the Gemara say, Haraba, Rafun is Pashid, we already know it. So usually when an Amora says something obvious, the Gemara says, we know it from a Mishnah, we know it from a Brisa. Here, says the Gemara, we know it from Rabba. From Rabba. We're going to say one Amora's sheet is obvious because we already know that from another Amora, says Rashi. Hachi Garcinon, Hanami Rabba Amra, Dama Rabba, Rabba Adam Chashiv Haya, Ume Adam Chashiv, Kagon Rav O Rabba, Parchinon, Kiilu Tni Bemishno Babraisa. That's a crucial Rashi. Sometimes the Gemara will ask from a great Amora as if it's written in a Mishnah or a Braisa. Right? As if it was a Tana in Ixoris. That's because the Gemara here says, we know it already from Rabba. Okay, so Rav Huna can say it anyway, even though Rabba said it. No, says the Gemara, says Rashi, explaining the Gemara. Sometimes the Gemara will ask from an Amora if it's a certain level of Amora, right? Rabba or Rav, as if it was written in the Mishnah. The Shoram Siyana Balacha here, again, Kedarka Bakodesh, quotes all the Gemaras that talk about the greatness of Rabba. Right, as Rashi says, Rabba is great, quotes all the Gemaras. Gemara Mesachah Soda Chavbeis, Rabba Godol B'Chachma Haya, the end of Harios, Rabba Oker Harim, B'Metzia, Rabba Haya Yachid B'Negamu B'Ahalos, Psachim, Man Siyes La'Abba, Rashi says, Karile L'Rabba Lashon Rabbanus, Rashbam, the Rabba Nikra Shvar Malkum Yishum De'Hilchaz Akavase. All the Gemara is about the godless of Rabba, puts it together, again, pre-computers, right, before they have the search engine. Okay, but that's on that Rashi. Okay, so we explain that line of the Braisa, which explains that if the Mazik shechs the shortam before it's collected, so the Mazik is going to be putter for the difference. So now we get to the last line of that section of the Braisa, where the Braisa said, if the creditors of the Mazik come and collect the shortam, so they can collect it. right? Masha asa asui. That's what the the chiluk was be tam and muad. So by tam they cannot collect. Why? As the Brisa said, lafisha ina mishalem ela migufo. Because this goof of the animal is already mishubad, right? As the shibud is to the nizak, and therefore the creditors cannot come and collect. But by a case of muad, the Brisa said, masha asa asui. What's done is done. The creditors could collect. And what the Brisa say? It doesn't matter if the loan was before the damage or after the damage. Bein chav ad shelo hizik, bein hizik ad shelo chav. So now we're going to talk about that last line about shar muad. Kadmu balei chovas vigbiu. Bein chav ad shelo hizik, bein hizik ad shelo chav, lo asa v'lo klum, l'fishein mishalim eli migufo. So the tam, in the case of tam, the creditors cannot come and take it, because the goof of the animal is already leaned, is already designated to the nizak. So bishlam hezek ad shelo chav nizikin kadmu. I understand if the damage took place before the mazik lent the money. So I understand why the hezek, why the nizak wins and he gets to take it from the creditors. Aval chav ad shelo hezek. But if this mazik lent money before the damage took place, why shouldn't those creditors be able to come and take it? Their lien came first. Bal chov kadim, says the Gemara. V'yafilu hizik ad shelo chav. Bal chov kadim. Even if the damage, the Brisa was bishla. I understand why hizik ad shelo chav, that hizik came first. But if the creditors came first, bal chov kadim. It's a statement. Bal chov came first. V'yafilu hizik ad shelo chav. Bal chov kadim. And even if the hezek came first, we don't say that the Baal Chov could come. Shma mina, Baal Chov me'ucha shekada v'gava mashagava lo gava. Is this teaching me, if the nezek came first, that the Baal Chov wouldn't be able to come and take it, and we would learn the halacha to the Shas question that we have elsewhere, that if a later Baal Chov comes and collects before the earlier Baal Chov, he cannot keep it? Is that true? Is that what the Brisa is trying to say? And then it will be shayach to answer that general question that we have. So Gemara says no. Maybe our case is different than the regular case of Baal Chov Shekadam. Lo la'olamei melacha mashagava gava. Maybe in general, a later Baal Chov could come and take before an earlier Baal Chov. He shouldn't, but if he does, mashagava gava. V'shayni hasa. But here is different. Why is here different? The Amalei. Ilu gaba chavei. Because here, you know what the Nisa could tell the Baal Chov? I'm taking it from you. Why? Because let's say the animal had been by you. Ilu gaba chavi, lo mina chavi gavile. I would take this mazik from you. Remember, this is short time shemishali migufo. So the nizik could say to the Baal Chov, look, if the animal had been yours when it damaged, I'd take it from you. So if it belongs to the other guy, I'm taking it. Because after all, dahai tura daazkin, mine mishtalimna. Because this ox, that damage from it, I am getting paid. What is that line highlighting? The chiyuv of shor tam is a different type of shibud and different type of chiyuv than other shibudim. And we've discussed this before from Reb Chaim and the Grach al Hashas. General shibudim is first on the person. I owe, and therefore my property is meshubid because there's a shibud aguf. You know, I borrowed money, so I owe. I have a shibud aguf. Therefore, my property then is meshubid. But by shor tam, it's just the opposite. The shibud starts with the animal. That's the chiddush of shor tam mishalim migufo. The animal itself has some type of shibud, like we had back in Rabbeinu Tam Shita in the first parak, where the by tfisa bizman hazeh, where we, if you hold pagan is kaknasa, you can't collect this because it's a knas. But if you're tofes, you can keep it. If the nizik is tofes, what Rabbeinu Tam say there, quoted in the Tosfos of the Rush, that's only if you're tofes the mazik itself, not if you're tofes his property. If you're tofes the animal. Because the animal, there's a certain type of shibud on the animal different than other type of shibudim. If you look at Tosfos here, Tosfos also highlights this. The top Tosfos says, Tema, azu bedincha yigvesha pasha bishmiraso. So he says, I don't understand the claim. Tosfos, that the, he says, the Nizek says, if it would have been by you, I would collect it.
Okay, you'd be chayiv for a different reason if it had been by him. That he was negligent in his shmirah. If the animal would have damaged it by the, if the Baal Chov owned it. Stosva says what the Gemara is really trying to say, as we just explained it, v'yeish lomar, delo ka'amar ela klomar, de'ein guf ha'shor, mishubid lo Baal Chov, kemoshu mishubad l'nizak, shemishtali mi gufo. What's Tosva saying? Don't compare the shibud of a regular Baal Chov to the shibud of a mazik to a nizak. The animal itself is meshubad. And that is why, even if in general, you say if a later Baal Chov could come and collect, here a later Baal Chov cannot come and collect. Because as we said, as we discussed in yesterday's daf, yuchlat asar, yusam ashar, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says, yusam ashar, it's not that right by the Maisa Hezek, it becomes partners with the Nizak. You don't, even if you don't go that far, like Rabbi Akiva, of yuchlat ashar. But even Rabbi Yishmael, if you remember, said, the Mazik can't sell it. And if the Mazik sells it, the Nizak can come and take it. What do you mean? Why can't he sell it? The answer is because of this idea that even according to Rabbi Yishmael, who has the less extreme view of short time, still the Nizak has connections to it, and therefore we could say in this case, Haitura da Azkan mine mishtalamna. This is one of the crucial lines in understanding the Chiyav and the Shibut of Shartam. And keep in mind also, again, just a general point, we discussed, right, Pagres Kaknasa, based on the Shita of what we hold, this Knas is a different type of Knas than other Knasas. Most Knasos are totally arbitrary. Shloshim Shaleved, Chamishim, and Meya Kesef of Moshi Shemra. Most Knasos are totally arbitrary. It's an amount that the Torah says. But once in a while, you have a Knas that is connected to the principle. And it's still called a knas. So two examples, one more and one less. One more, kefel. Kefel is a knas, but it's always connected to the principle of the ganeva. It's not arbitrary. However much you stole, you're going to pay double the ganev. So it's a fine that's connected to the principle, not like shloshim, chamishim, meya in those contexts. And here you have the exact opposite, chatzinezek. Chatzinezek is also connected, but it's half the principle. Half the damage, the principal damage that he did, and not a totally arbitrary. So that's why these knasos are going to be a little different than the other knasos. Okay, let's continue now to dots. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. Shar Shavim Matayim. Again, we're in the Karen Sugis. This third parak, as we discussed, first half of the third parak is Bor. A little bit in the middle of the third parak is Adam Amazik, as we had two Mishnayos, the cases of walking in the street and bumping into each other. And now the rest of the third parak, we have cases of Tam and Muad. Getting back to Tam and Muad, as we will see until the end of the parak, along with some other issues, the third and the fourth parak really are these cases of Tam and Muad. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Shar Shavim Atayim, Shadagok Shar Shavim Atayim, 200 shekel animal, of course a 200 shekel, the chaval, or zuz, we should talk about really, the chaval, bo b'chamishim zuz, so what happened, Gore's a 200 animal, and now he's only worth, he damaged him 50 zuz, now the animal's worth 150, so he's tam, he should pay 25, but what happens, in the interim, the animal appreciates, v'shibach v'amad al-bameo zuz, now the animal's worth 400, So you damaged him from 200 to 150, but now the animal's worth 400. So what do you say? So do we say, well, I don't have to pay anything, because now the animal's worth even more than it was in the first place? No. Says the Gemara, the case is that if you hadn't damaged it, it wouldn't have gone up to 400, it would have gone up to 800. She'omale heziku hayaomid al shmona meozuz. If it hadn't damaged, then it would have gone up to 800 zuz. You see how the star on the side? Ayin Tosfos and Megillah Chaf Aleph. Whenever the word Ilmole appears in Shas, you see that in the Masoras HaShas. Because there the Tosfos discusses, what's the difference between Ilmole with a Yud, Ilmole with an Aleph, were it not or were it? That's the Chilek Tosfos says there. But whenever the word comes up in Shas on the side, Masoras HaShas takes you to that Tosfos in Megillah. But either way, getting back to our case. So a 200 zuz animal damage, a 200 zuz animal down to 150, then it went up to 400. So do we take into account it would have gone up to 800 had he not damaged? Says the Gemara, no. No sein kishas hanezek. You pay based on the time of the nezek. Rashi has two pshatim. We'll go with one pshat of Rashi. Rashi says, the time of the nezek, he damaged 50. I don't care. I don't take into account the fact that he prevented it from appreciating more. That is not taken into account when you measure the maisa hezek or the chatzi nezek. And here he has to pay 25. because at the time of the Hezek he damaged 50, and therefore now he pays 25. Kichesh, if it had gone down in value, if it depreciated Kishas HaMadah B'din, then the Nizik wins. And you take into account how much it went down from the time of death to the time of HaMadah B'din. The Gemara is going to say, that's just a couple of lines, it's because it depreciated more because of the death. So it's like one long Maisa Hezek. It's not totally separate from the Hezek itself. Shibach Mazik, what if the animal appreciated in between? Mazik Nosi and Lokashasan Shibach Mazik, if the Mazik appreciated it, right, and now it's worth 400, not because of the market price, but the Mazik itself did something to the Mazik's animal. Now we're talking about the Mazik's animal, so now it's worth more than at the time of the Maisa Hezek. Nosi and Lokashasan Hezek. We don't say that the animal appreciated in the Rishus of the Nizak. No, the Mazik, you know, fanned up the animal. So it's the Mazik's. What does this line sound like? Rabbi Yishmael Shita. Right? Rabbi Yishmael from yesterday's daf. Yusam Hashor. The animal stays in the control and the ownership of the Mazik until Amad Abedin at least. Kichesh. But if the Mazik depreciated it, Kishas Amad Abedin. Which sounds like? Rabbi Akiva. That's going to be a problem in a second. Right, which sounds like it's in the Nizek's control from the time of the Maisa Hezek. So he has the Gemara. Amar Mar, Shivech Mazik Nosek Kishaz HaNezek. Mani Rabbi Shvali. That sounds like Rabbi Shvali's din. The Amar Balchov, who the Zuziyu de Mazik lay. The Mazik is called the Balchov, who owes money from the time of the Maisa Hezek. Ema Seifa, Kichesh Kishaz HaMadah B'din. Unlike the Seifa, which says, if it depreciates, then you go by HaMadah B'din. Which means Aslan Rabbi Akiva, the Rashutvi Ninu. Which means that sounds like Rabbi Akiva's din, that the Nizik has to bear it, and Rabbi Akiva says, Yuchlat Asor, they're partners from the moment of the Maisa Hezek. Reisha Rabbi Yishmael, Vasefer Rabbi Akiva. We never like to say that. Is this Brisa reflecting two different opinions in the same lines? Somewhere says no. Lo Kula Rabbi Akiva, he really is all Rabbi Akiva. Aye, so why in the Reisha do we say that the Mazik's appreciation is solely his? The Mazik fanned up the animal. So if he fanned up the animal, so that's why he gets all the appreciation. Because he actively did so. It's not like it just went up Mamela. He fanned it. So that's why even Rabbi Akiva would agree that the Mazik gets all of that. Ikishapitmo, but one second, if it's that the Mazik fattened it, what about the previous case of the Brisa, where the Nizik's animal was affected? Emaresha, Shibekva Amar al Dalad Meozuz, if the Nizak's animal became worth now 400, no say no, Kishasa Nezek, then the Mazik still only has to pay Kishasa Nezek. Ikishapitmo, Trichala Meimar. If the Mazik is the one that fattened up the animal, what is? It's pretty obvious that it's all his. So what would be the Chiddush? So you're right, says the Gemara, Amar of Papa, Reisha, Mishkachas la bein de pitma pitume, bein de shibcha b'meila. The Reisha is a case where, either way, you're right, it would be obvious, but if it was fattened up, or it was mishubach b'meila, the Chiddush would only be the latter. The Itzrach la'ashmi inon, the hecha, the shibcha b'meila, nosin lo kashas ha'nezek. So the Chiddush would only be the second half, but it could be either one. Seifa lo mishkachas lo elkeshepitmo. The Seifa, which is according to Rabbi Akiva's view, according to what the Gemara is saying now, that you only have if the animal was actually fattened by the Mazik, and that's why the Mazik gets everything. Semicolon. End of that section. Last point on the Braisa. Kichesh kishas HaMadah B'din. The end said that if the animal depreciated, you go by HaMadah B'din. So why does the Mazik have to bear that burden? Kichesh machmas mai. Is it that the Nizak, let's say, was using the animal and now it was it got weak because of malacha that he was doing? So the Mazik should say, what, you weakened it and I'm going to pay for that? So now the case is where it got weak based on the original Maka, the original Maisa Hezek. And that's what he is saying, that the literally, the horn of your ox is still buried in my shore, meaning your Maisa Hezek is continuing to have effects, and that's why you're going to be responsible for it. Right? The Pasuk says, in Mishpatim, right? What do we say by if somebody gives a blow, Reuven gives a blow to Shimon, and Shimon doesn't die right away, we lock Reuven up to see what happens. Is Shimon going to die from this blow? If he's going to die, it could be that an extended Maaser Ritzicha. You're still going to be held responsible. So here too, the horn, literally, the Nizek could say, the horn of your ox is still buried in my animal, and therefore, you're going to be responsible for the depreciation. Shita Mekubetzes here asks, why don't we say the same thing? Right, what's the case here? You could have an extended Maaser Hezek. It's all you. Your animal's horn is in my ox. Remember we had earlier the sugyas of Eish. Daf Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Eish Mishem Chitzav, Eish Mishem Amono. So we had a machlokas there between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how to understand the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah that came up on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, where you have a dog that takes a burning cookie, and he puts it onto a gadish, and the Rabbi Yochanan said that, oh, you pay full for the cookie, you pay a little bit more, or maybe you pay for the spot on the gadish, but as it spreads, so that you're even going to be pater, it's grama, or chatzines, it's tsroros, all the sugya there. Ask the Sheba Gubetas here, why? Why can't the owner of the gadish say, your fire is in my gadish? Like here, your animal's horn is in my animal's horn, you see the effects of it. So why can't he say, you know, Gachela shalcha is in my goddess? So the Shita says here, because there, it's Nikar, that it's sitting on the goddess, and you could pick it up, and you could stop it, and you could put the fire out. Here, there's nothing to do. The animal is getting worse. The animal's there's no way to prevent it. The animal was already affected, it's going down, it's depreciating, there's no way for you to prevent it. And that's why the Nizek could say that claim, even though in the case earlier, he cannot say that claim. Okay, Vaitu. Says the Mishnah, next Mishnah. Shor Shava Matayim, Shadaga Shor Shava Matayim. So again, case. 200 animal, gores a 200 animal. Ve'ein ha'nevela yafek klum. And the nevela's worth zero. So meaning what? He damaged altogether 200. He's a short tam. He has to pay 100. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, this is the case discussed in the Torah. Al zeh nemar, this is the pasuk in Mishpatim, u'machru es ashar achai v'chatzu es kaspo. The pasuk says, you sell the live animal and split its money. Now, that's this case. An animal's worth 200, it damaged 200, you sell it, you split it, they each get 100. Fine, that's chatzi nezek. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda v'chein halacha. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with that. That's true. That's the halacha. But that's not the case that the Torah is referring to. Why? Because there's a phrase that you still didn't explain. Kiyamto machras ashara chai v'chatzu es kaspo. You explained that half of the pasuk, that you take the live animal and you sell it and you split its kesef. V'lo kiyamto v'gama meis yechatzun. But you did not explain the other half of the pasuk, that you also split the carcass. You also split the dead animal. In this case, once you split the live animal, he's paid chatzi nezek. It's not fair for the mazik to pay anymore. So there must be a different case that the Torah is referring to. This is not a machlokas pashtus so far in halacha. It's a machlokas v'apshat of the pasuk. The ezeh. So what's the case of the Torah where you have to split both the live and the dead animal? Zeh shor shavim asayim shadagach shor shavim matayim v'anefela yafeh chamishim zuz. No, he damaged 150. He didn't damage 200. He damaged 150. So in that case, the dead carcass is worth 50. Shezeh nota chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. V'zeh nota chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. Here, if you split up each one, right, so then the nizik and the mazik is going to end up paying 75, right, which is half of 150, half of the damage, right, because he's going to get half of the chai and half of the meis, and the Nizik's also going to take half of the chai and half of the mace, right? Half of the chai is 100, half of the mace is 25, and therefore the mazik is going to get 125, so he's going to end up paying 75, which is exactly what he's supposed to pay by splitting up half the chai, half the mace. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's the pshat of the pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, let's do a little more, and then we'll talk about this machlokes. Tana Rabbanan, shor shavim asayim, shenagach shor shavim asayim, v'hanevela yafeh chamishim zuz. That's the case discussed. Zenotel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis, v'zenotel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis, v'zeo shor hamor batorah, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah. That's the case that the Torah discusses. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Zeu Shor HaAmar BaTorah. No, that's not the case. I agree with that. But that's not the case in the Torah. Elo Shor Shav HaMasayim Shadag HaShor Shav HaMasayim Ve'Nevela Yafek Klum Al Zeh Ne'amar U'machur Asa Shor HaChai V'Chatzu Es Kaspo. Right? That's the case. The 200 were zero. Elamani Mekayim Megamas Ames Yechetsun. According to you, Rabbi Meir, what does the second half of the pasuk mean? That you have to split up the dead one. Says the Rabbi Meir, no, it means as follows. Pachas Shepichso Misa Machsin Bechai. The lessening, the depreciation that the death caused in the Nizak, you pay in the Mazik. What does it mean, split the dead shar? What does it mean, split the dead shar? It means split the value of the dead shar in the live shar. He's basically saying the same thing that the first half of the Pasuk said. So far, we've explained that basically it's a machlokas of mashmoz dorshim. It's a machlokas of how do you understand the pshat of the pasuk, but not exactly with any nafkamina. We will get to a nafkamina b'shem in a minute, but even before that. But we see the pashas of the Mishnah, though, is a reflection of the importance of pshuto shel mikra. Even if the halacha is the same, but you have to know what the pshat of the pasuk is. Pshat of the pasuk, right? The Gemara says in Yevamis, daf chav dalet, there is never an exception to the rule of ein hamikra yosei midei pshuto. Every time you learn a drash, you have to also understand the pshat of the pasuk. Ein hamikra yosei midei pshuto, with one exception. There's one exception to the rule of ein hamikra yosei midei pshuto. So we might have said, what's the exception? Ein tachazayin. Shein tachashein. Because we don't hold it literally an eye for an eye, so it's fascinating the Gemara does not give that as the exception. As if the Gemara is saying, when you pay for the eye, that is like the pshat of the pasuk. Ayin, ayin, tachas, ayin. And that's why the Gemara talks about this in Achovel. But the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about this at the beginning of Chovel, he says, when you pay, it's really in lieu of the eye. Says the Rambam, v'chei zeh shenemar batorah, kasher yitin mum ba'adam, kein yinasein bo. No, that's not even the pashas of the pasuk. That's what the Rambam is trying to emphasize, right? It's not chavala like your friend. When it says eye for eye, you're deserving to have your eye out for his eye. You're deserving to have this wound for that wound. You don't actually have to. But that's what this payment is in lieu of. For who are you amalo sukra kofer lefesh rotzeach? The rotzeach bilvad hu she'en kofer aval chisaro nevarim ola chavalos yesh kofer. And then he said, the chulin continues, gives the other examples also for the source. Af alpi, and then he says, avavish advarim elu nirim me'inyan torah shebichsav kulan meforashenei mipi Moshe me'ar Sinai v'kulan alach lamaisei biyadenu ukazer ra'u avoseinu danin bebezin shel Yeshua. This ayin tachazayin, this was a major discussion in Talmudic times. We know Hammurabi code, right, of the Talmudic text, they have literally eye for an eye. So the Rambam's going against that. The Rambam's saying, no, this is our Mesorah. Eye for an eye, the pshuto shel mikra is a payment. But what's the exception to the rule? Right? What does the Gemara in Yevamis say? The one exception to the rule of pshuto ein mikra yodimei pshuto, that we know the Gemara tells us, is the pasuk by Yibum. HaBechor asher teled yokim ashem achiv ames. That the Bechor that is born will be make him stand up for his achiv ames. It's talking about the oldest brother. It's not talking about the kid. The Gemara Darsh is from there talking about the oldest brother. He will be Yakim al Shem Achiv Ames. He's the brother, not the son that will be born. So even though it says Abachor Asher Teleid, it doesn't mean it. That's the one exception to the rule, says the Gemara. But as this Mishnah reflects, the importance of understanding what exactly is the case of the Pasuk, here the Pasuk in Mishpatim. If you remember the comment of the Rashbam in the beginning of Vayeshev, amazing comment, where the Rashbam discusses that he had many discussions with his grandfather, Rashi, and Rashi told him that if he would have had more time towards the end of his life, he would have rewritten his commentary on the Torah closer to Pshuto Shel Mikra. Unbelievable. Says the Rashbam, the Gam Rabbeinu Shlomo Avi Imi Meir Einei Gola. Right, my mother's father, Shapirish Torah Neviyim Uksuvim, Nasan Lev Lafarish Pshuto Shel Mikra, V'af Ani Shmuel Ben Rabbi Meir, Chasano, I, Shmuel Ben Meir, his son-in-law, Zatzal Nisvakach Di'imo Ulafanav, I argued with my grandfather many times, Lehodeli Adi admitted to me, She'ilu Hayelo Pnai, Hayatzarech Lasos Pirushim Acherim, you know, the Rashbam is more of a Pashtan even than Rashi. He'll go even against, not going against Chazal, Chas B'Shalom, but just saying, in terms of giving the Pshat, you will give a different pshat than Rashi does. And this is classic that he says this is the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Why? Because one of the more well-known Rashbams, Pshuto Shal Mikra, is in Vayeshev, where the Rashbam says, if you look closely at the psukim, the brothers never sold Yosef. You look very closely at the psukim, it says that the brothers put him in the pit, and they went to eat, and they saw Yishmaelim coming, and then Midonim came, born from the Yishmaelim. The Rashbam says, the brothers went away, and some other nation, the people going by, the caravans, found him, and they took him. And they sold him a few times. And that's why they didn't want to be right next to Yosef. Why? Because he was probably screaming. It's not so nice to be eating a big meal when your brother's screaming from the snakes and the scorpions right next to you. So they went away. So the brothers never sold Yosef. Aye, what does it mean later on in Torah? Hashem mechartem osi? You caused me to be sold. But not that they actually sold. If you look at the psukim, if they're only that Rashbam, it's not, you can never look at the psukim again without thinking about this Rashbam. But again, that's the related to Pshuto Shel Mikra, and that's the machlokas here. The simple interpretation of the Mishnah, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But now the Gemara does try to say, you know, maybe there is a nafka mina. Michdi. Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, the case that Rabbi Yehuda says is the case in the Torah. Hai meyav esra mechamisha shakil. Hai meyav esra mechamisha shakil. Right, the case where the damage was 150. Then they split half the chai and half the mace. Mai binayu. Is there enough gemina between them? Amar Rava, try number one. Pachas nevela ika binayu. Maybe the difference is the depreciation of the nevela in the interim from the time of the Misa to the time of Hamad Abedin. Rabbi Meir Savar Pachas Nevela de Nizakave. Rabbi Meir says the depreciation of the Nevela is borne by the Nizik, meaning the Mazik only has to pay Chati Nezek from the damage that it was damaged at the time of the Misa. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Pachas Nevela de Mazakave Palga. Rabbi Yehuda says no, that the Mazik has to bear the brunt of that depreciation also. We have this already, if you remember, back on Daf Yud. We had this called Bailim Metaplim Benevela. We said there that the Nizik is the one that has to be involved in selling the Nevela and dealing with the Nevela. And the Maskana there was that was also about Pachas Nevela. So wait a minute. Says the Gemara Amalei Abaya. If you remember that Gemara in Daf Yud, that was about Sharmuad, where we said the Nizik is the one that has to deal with the Pachas Nevela. So Amalei Abaya, Im Kain, if you put these two Gemaras together, Matsinu L'Rev Yehuda, Tam, Chamor, Mimuad. Our Gemara is saying that by Shor Tam, the Mazik has to deal with the Hadberit, and earlier the Gemara said that Muad, he does not have to. So why is that? A mazik tam is more chomer than a mazik muad. V'chi tema hochanami. And if you want to say, yeah, it's true. Sometimes you find tam is more chomer than muad. Kid it's not. Like the Mishnah says later on, tam is more chomer than muad. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tam chayv muad pater. In a certain case of shmira, where the Bailam didn't do a certain level of shmira, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was a shart tam chayv muad pater. So you see Rabbi Yehuda holds that direction. Says the Gemara, no. Amar d'shamas le'der Rabbi Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda say sometimes that a tam can be more chomer le'inyin shmira? D'ksivi bikroi. That's regarding levels of guarding the animal, because that's based on psukim. Le'inyin tashlumin mishamas le. But regarding payment, would you ever have a case where a tam has to pay more than a muad? That's unheard of. V'otanya, look at the following brisa, where the svara in that direction is given. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yachol shor shave mana. A shor that's worth 100. Shenagach shor shave chamesh slaim. 5 slaim is 20 zuz. We're going to translate everything into zuzim to make it easy. Right? An animal that's worth 100. Damage an animal that's worth 20. V'hanevela yafes sela, and the nevela is only worth 4. A sela is 4 zuz. Basically, how much was the damage? 16. Zenot el chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. V'zenot el chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. And they each take half of the chai, half of the mace. Would you say that, Amarta? Would you say that? That wouldn't be fair. V'chimuad lama yotza. Why is muad different than tam? Lahachmir alav or lahachmir alav? To be machmir or mekel? Havi omer lahachmir alav? Obviously, muad is going to be more chomor than tam. Uma muad einu mishalim ela mashehizek. And if a muad only pays what was damaged, tam akal lokoshigin. Surely, if a tam shouldn't pay more than what he damaged. And here, just because the mazik's animal is worth a lot, you shouldn't split it, and the mazik shouldn't have to lose that animal. So what do you see from that whole brisa? that Rabbi Yehuda agrees in Svara that a Tam would never pay more than a Muad. So we're back to the question. The first pshat of the Nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Pachas, Nevela, we reject. Because it cannot be that Tam is more Chamor than Muad. So we're going to have to go to a different answer. Just one Ha'ara, and that is, Tam being more Chamor, Muad being more Chamor than Tam, that's not a Kal V'Chomer. Right, it's not that, oh, Muad has to be much more Chamor, and therefore we get into sugyas of Onshin Min Adin or Onshin Min Adin. No, Tam and Muad is a different issue here. The Gemara doesn't use the Lashon Kal V'Chomer. It's just, it's what we would call a Gilui Milsa. It's Muad inherently is more stringent than Tam, not because of a Kal V'Chomer, but because Tam is the first step before you get to Muad. L'mad Davar Dome, the first Kesef of Mishnah, in Ilchus Tumas Meis. Where the Kesef Mishnah points out that the Torah only says the Isser of granddaughter. The Isser of the Arayos of granddaughter. The Torah never says the Isser Beferish of daughter. So what, you're going to tell me that you can never give a punishment based on the daughter because it's not Mefurish, it's Onshin Min Adin? Says the Kesef Mishnah, no. Granddaughter is Usser because it's through daughter. And therefore it's a Gilui Milsa is going to be Usser. Or Tumas Masa explains the Rambam. It's not Mefurish. You have Tumas Maga is Mefurish and Tumas Ohel is Mefurish. So, says the Rambam, Tumas Masa Mipi Hashmua, and he uses the Lashon of Kal V'Chomer. But the Kesef Mishnah says he doesn't really mean Kal V'Chomer, because then you would never be able to give a punishment. The Im Toma Vare Tumas Masa Ubibas O Iser Achilas Basa B'Chal of Ansho Min Adin. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Yesh Lomar, Shemei Acher Shebas Habas, Eina El Asura El Amachmas Habas, Shehi Ima, Memela Mashma Shehi Asura, the Ein Kanon Shemin Adin. It's an extension, it's an outgrowth of the previous Isser. It's not a Kal V'Chomer, right? You have granddaughter comes from daughter. Eating Basar B'Chalav comes from cooking Basar B'Chalav. Tumas Masa comes from where he gets back to it at the end, right? Tumas Masa ube meis mashma the gilui milsa ba'almo should be achra shematame b'maga ube ohel mamela mashma matame b'masa. So here too, Muad is it has to pay, but as a second step to what Tam was, and therefore it's not even an issue of onshin min adin. Again, there are four differences between Tam and Muad. Put together everything we've said over the past couple of weeks. Tam and Muad, the Mishnah has already spoken about differences. Number one, chati nezek nezek shalim. Except for Rabbi Tarfon in Chatzar and Izak. Number two, Me'aliyah Migufo. Number three is whether you, it's called a Knas or not. Right? Pagadis Kakaz, Pagadis Babot, Nafkabina, Mabi Mode Beknas. Number four, Kofer. That's a Machlokas. Whether a Tam pays Chatzi Kofer or not. Those are the four differences, or three and a half differences, between Tam and Muad. But either way, back to our case. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? So Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Shevach Nevelik Yiminayu. Not if it goes down, but the opposite if it goes up. Parenthetically, the Gemara here says, Rabbi Yochanan comes along. Says that she's the Kubetzes. Rabbi Yochanan was much earlier before Rava. So how could Rabbi Yochanan be coming to answer the kashes that Rava asked? So the Shita explains, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan is answering, it's just that the Gemara is presenting Rabbi Yochanan's approach because of Rava's problems. But not that Rabbi Yochanan said this to answer Rava's questions, but the same questions might have been asked earlier. But not that Rava actually asked the questions. He was much later than Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation Amora. So El Rabbi Yochanan, Shevach Nevele Gibinayu. What's the machlokes? The Marsov, Rabbi Meir holds the Nizakavi. What happens if after the Nezek, the Nevela appreciates? So we're going to go with Rashi's pshat of this Gemara. Machlokas, the Rambam has a different pshat, but Rashi says, Rabbi Meir holds that the appreciation reduces the Hezek payment. Let's say if the damage was 100, and then before Hamad Abedin, the animal went up 20, so now the damage is only 80 altogether, so he's only going to pay 40. Chatzi Nezek of the damage measured, taking into account the appreciation. Or at Marsov, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Palga. Marsov the Nizek, Marsov Palga. I'm sorry, Rabbi Meir says it's on the Nizek and they have to pay full. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Palga, that it reduces the Nezek payment. V'hainu, the Kakashile, the Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda himself, who said that the Mazik gets off a little bit, is bothered by the following. Hashad Amr Chas Rahmani Ilavi Damazik the Shakal the Shivcha. Now that the Torah says that you are lenient on the Mazik to reduce his Hezek payment, Yachal, you might think even in this case, Yachal Sharshav Echamesh Slime, Shinarach Sharshav Emana, you might think an animal that was worth 20. Right, chamis lom damages an animal worth 100. V'hanavela yafeh chamishim zuz, and the nevela is worth 50. Meaning, how much the damage was 50. Zen ota chatzia chay v'chatzia meis, v'zen ota chatzia chay v'chatzia meis. Each one should split up the chay and the meis. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amart, would you say that? Heichan matzinu mazik niskar. That wouldn't be fair. That the mazik would be getting even more than what this animal's worth. Shezen niskar. You can't say that. Ve'omer, and also, shalem yishalem bailim. But shalem yishalem. Bailim yishalem, and vein bailim notlin. The bailim pay. They don't take the mazik. So that's why, Rabbi Yehuda, we understand. If you say that it's appreciated, that's the hava meaning to say the mazik should get. Kamash, what he says, it's not true. My ve'omer, what's his second statement that we just said of shalem yishalem? He just said, how could the mazik be niskar? And then he says, and also, the mazik should only pay and not take. What is that adding? As follows. V'chi tema hani mili. And if you want to say, when do we say that the mazik should not get extra? Hecha di'ika pseita l'nizik. Maybe that's only where the nizik is going to lose if the mazik's going to get. Aval hecha d'leka pseita l'nizik. But what if you have a case where the nizik's not losing anything? So there, maybe you should say the mazik should take kigon sharsha v'chamesh slime. Shenarach sharsha v'chamesh slime. An animal's worth 20. Gore's animal's worth 20. V'nevela yafesh shloshim zuz. And the nevela, it went up. Unbelievable. The nevela's worth more than the animal was worth at the beginning. So shakal nami mazik v'shivcha, the mazik should take some of that appreciation. So it says, to answer that, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, v'omer shalem yishalem, bailim yishalmim, vein bailim, notzlin. So that's the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the case of shevach nevela. First we wanted to say pachas nevela, then we ended up saying shevach nevela. Period. So now we go back to the Mishnah. Rashi points out, this is not going back to the Mishnah. Amalei Ravacha bar Tachlifa l'Rava, Imkain, if you want to say. What does Rabbi Meir say the case of the Torah is? You split the live animal. Rabbi Yehuda says, you always split the live animal and the dead animal. But Imkain, if that's true, says the Gemara, Matzina l'Rabbi Yehuda, Tam Mishalim Yoser Mechatzi Nezek. Sometime a tam is going to pay more. Is it ever possible that tam is going to pay more than a chatzi nezek? What's the case? Rashi quotes right across from where we are. Rashi quotes an example. Hey, dummy, you have a shor that's worth 50, that gores a shor that's worth 40, and the nevela is worth 20. Meaning how much did he damage? 20, 40 to 20. So you should have to pay 10. V'havi nezek chav u'palaganez kasara. But now, if you split half the chai and half the meis, then he's going to end up paying, it's going to pay more than chatzi nezek, right? The v'hipalgi chatzi chai v'chatzi meis, notal nizek v'chai, chaf hei, ube meis, yud, he's going to take 35. And really, he should be taking less than that. So it's not fair if you split up the chatzi achai and the chatzi meis. So the Gemara says, you're right. Isle Rabbi Yehuda, pacha shepichsa misa machse b'chai. Rabbi Yehuda also holds of Rabbi Meir's limud, that it can never be more than chatzi nezek. Says the Gemara, minole, bivagamas ha-meis yechatzun. What do you mean? V'ha afki Rabbi Yehuda, l'zen otol chatzi achai v'chatzi ha-meis, v'zen otol chatzi achai v'chatzi ha-meis. Isn't that already used up? Answer, imke nechtov kra v'es ha-meis, my v'gam. It should have said ves, but why did he say vegam? Shma mina tarti. So you learn from here both of the halachos, and therefore we end up saying that even according to both opinions, he'll never pay more than chatzi nezek. Again, the machlokes is how to understand the psukim in the Torah, and an afkamina between them could be the shevach nevela. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but Hashem, we will continue with more issues of Tom and Muad, and tomorrow gets into Kol Makalkal and Peturin, and Kimlei Bedrabimine gets into different sugyas on tomorrow's daf.